You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're with you Monday through Friday, and we want to thank you for taking us along wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, in the car, at the gym, in the shower. We just very much appreciate you taking us with you. We are the Rain and Jays. Normally, there's more than one of us. But I, John Corrales of MassLive.com, am here to walk you through this very tough loss for the Boston Celtics, 97-92 to the Portland Trail Blazers, their fourth loss in a row. Again, my partners normally are Jay King of The Athletic or Sam Jam Packard. You can follow all of us on Twitter if you're a new listener and you're unfamiliar to the show. You can find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. Jay is at @ByJKing. Sam is at @JamPackard. So follow us, follow the show at @Rainin_Jays. We tweet everything. We're very much online. So if you have questions, comments, anything, hit us up on Twitter for sure. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, but Twitter's where we're normally at. So hit us up there. I am going to walk you through the good stuff, the bad stuff, and then your tweets. There's a bunch here, and I know people are frustrated by a fourth straight loss, but let's just dive into some of the good things. Let's start on a positive note. I'm a positive guy. I'm an optimistic guy. You guys know me. People, the regular listeners, you guys know me. I don't like being mad. I don't like being upset. I like being positive. Let's be happy. It's sports. Yay, sport. We are good sports people. We like good sport. So the Celtics, on a positive note, did come out with some good energy. They played with generally better energy, and I know that's probably depressing to hear. We don't want to play with generally good energy or generally better energy. We want to play with just great energy all the way throughout. But for these guys over the past couple of games, playing with generally better energy is a big positive for them. So I'm happy with most of how the game went. There was definitely a lull in the third quarter. They persevered through the second quarter. That was an ugly second quarter, but they made it through. Both teams scored 18 points in the second quarter. We really don't want to talk about that second quarter, but at least the Celtics made it through. They scuffled in the third quarter. They had another tough third quarter. I'll talk about the negative stuff later. But on the positive side, they still gave themselves an opportunity to win the game. They played good defense. Generally speaking, they played good defense. Damian Lillard had a big game. They couldn't really contain Damian Lillard that much. 33 points for him, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He shot just over 46%. So not that bad of a game for him. 4-4 from the line. He could have done more damage. He was 3 of 10 from 3. They did not shoot well from 3. Boston did not shoot well from three either. They shot 6 of 33 for 18.2%. Boston shot 5 of 28 for 17.9%. Again, I'm saving the bad for later. We're starting off with the good. I'll talk about the shooting in a little bit. On that positive note, I think the defense was better, and the guys afterwards talked about better defensive energy. The Celtics have been trying to win games with offense. They've gotten away generally from their defensive identity. They still have a top 10 defense. They still have a top 10 offense. But they have gotten away from the defense first, I think, mentality. And maybe, again, a little bit of optimism, maybe they can start figuring out that moving forward, they have to defend first. and the offense will run off of their defense. That's been what we've been that's what we've been trying to say all season long. That's basketball to me, that you start by defending, and if you can get steals, if you can get stops and rebounds and get out in transition. We saw the Bulls do it. We saw the Raptors do it. Get stops, get out in transition, whether it's off a steal, whether it's off a miss, a long miss, whatever it is. Get those opportunities to get out there. Pump up your field goal attempts. Get 90 shots up like both teams did tonight. Well, 86 for the Celtics, but 90 for the Blazers. Get your shot attempts up. The more shots you take, the more opportunity to score. Yeah, that's common sense. But that's how you satisfy all of these guys who are desperate to score. That's how they should have been playing from the beginning. Get those 90 shot attempts up. Get them up above 90 if you can. Force those turnovers. They didn't force a ton of turnovers. They forced 11 from the Blazers, but the Celtics still got out there and put up 86 shots. So defensively, looking at the positives, not a bad night. They also had generally good energy. They seemed to try to be focused on playing together, being engaged, which meant when somebody got knocked down, they rushed over to pick them up. And some of the conversations that I've been having lately about the Celtics have involved, do these guys like each other? That's something that I'm being asked all the time. Do they like each other? Well, I think they do. I see them. I've said this on other podcasts. I've said this on the radio. I think these guys do generally enjoy themselves. I saw them in the locker room after this loss. Another tough loss, but guys seem to be having conversations with one another. I don't know. Maybe there's something there, but tonight against the Blazers, they seem to be emphasizing doing those little things. So positive there. They recognize the situation. They want to make it better. So that's just a little thing. Jaylen Brown. Let's talk about Jaylen Brown, who I get questions about Jaylen Brown all the time, whether he should start. I'll get into that later. But Jaylen Brown, good energy. And you know what? Screw it. I'm going to talk about it now because people keep asking about Jaylen Brown. And the place I keep settling on with him is he's been doing well off the bench. And I think it's because he's coming off the bench, he feels free. I feel like he feels good. I feel like even though he plays alongside starters, for stretches anyway, he feels good. He feels better about his role coming off the bench. This year, this group, this dynamic, him coming off the bench has worked. It's worked for him on the floor. It's worked for him mentally. He feels better about his game. Keep him on the bench. Keep him coming off the bench. Just to keep that dynamic. And is he playing better than Marcus Morris right now? Yeah, he is. But I still say I'd rather have Jaylen Brown coming off the bench because that's where he feels good. And I don't want to mess with that. Also, there's a lot about this starting lineup. The Celtics have started out games well. And I know that part of the mixing up of the starting lineup is to get other guys maybe into the second unit, but I would rather change how the substitutions go than change the starting lineup. Just let it work. The starting lineup has worked. Marcus Morris is cold. I'll get more into that in the second segment, but I think the starting lineup is fine. I'm open to suggestion. I'm open to that. I'm not saying I'm married to it, but I think it's fine. And when it comes to Jaylen Brown, what we saw tonight, what we saw that was better than some of those stretches against Toronto, he played with energy. He played with focus. And he played with, he just generally played with an awareness of the floor. And on MassLive.com, if you go to MassLive, I suggest, of course, that you read all of my stuff on MassLive. But the one thing I'm speaking about right now in particular is something I called Inside the Boston Celtics Collapse, breaking down their breakdown against the Toronto Raptors. And I broke down the 18-0 run that the Celtics suffered against the Raptors. And if you look in that piece, I highlight the Jaylen Brown offensive foul, which was Jaylen Brown just getting the ball in transition, going in essentially a straight line at full speed, didn't vary his attack, didn't change the direction at all. Full speed, Kyle Lowry timed it perfectly because it was very easy to time. He didn't think to pass. Jaylen Brown didn't think to pass, didn't even look at Marcus Smart in the corner, and he draws the offensive foul. Well, in this game against Portland, he gets a breakaway and has a nice inside-out dribble to put, I forget who the defender was, but to put him off balance. That's great. That's a great thing to do. And instead of just challenging defenders one-on-one in a straight line thinking, I'm going to overpower you, Jaylen Brown goes right at a defender, but inside-out dribble. Gets him going one way, fakes him out, and gets an easy dunk out of it. He had other opportunities to drive, and he passed. He hit open guys, and he generally played well when he was attacking. I thought he had a very good game, and it was just a continuation of a lot of the good performances that he's had. Some of those stretches against Toronto notwithstanding, I think Jaylen Brown has done extraordinarily well, and I like him in this role. 30 minutes off the bench is great. And I like him. I like him there. I want to keep him there. I just want to keep him there. A double-double for him. 10 points, 10 rebounds. Of course, like I said before, tweet me if you want, and we can have that discussion. But that's basically where I stand when it comes to Jaylen Brown. Another positive thing was Marcus Smart in the fourth quarter was awesome in the fourth quarter for the most part. But his energy, trying to take over the game, diving for loose balls, getting an and one, getting in the post, drawing a foul, hustling, getting steals, touchdown pass, like a lot of these things that Marcus Smart was doing Marcus Smart things, but Marcus Smart in the fourth quarter was mostly like 99% phenomenal and was the biggest reason why the Celtics had a chance to win. Of course, they didn't. And that's something that it sucks. But Brad Stevens talked about that after the game, talking about the Celtics desperately needing the win. And I'll read the quote directly. He says, "I think we're desperate for a win and to feel good about ourselves. I said, you feel a lot better leaving tonight, but it doesn't feel much better because you didn't win. So I think we need to stay in the moment, stay in the day." So Brad Stevens basically saying after this game, throughout his post-game press conference, that the Celtics played better. They felt better coming out of this game than the last two games, which is to say still not great, but they felt better. And I can see that. They really do need a win. They very much need a win. So they've got two more home games coming up, and then they hit the road. The next two games are winnable, I think. Washington, definitely. Houston, they could do that. That's going to be a tough one, but Houston at home on that Sunday before they hit the road for the West Coast swing is I think they have a chance to win that game. They need those wins. They need those wins. They need to feel good about themselves. They need to see some of this stuff that's going, that the positive stuff, they need to see that payoff. So that's the positive stuff, as positive as I can be after a loss, but that's some of the good stuff that happened. When we come back, I'll look at some of the bad stuff that happened and what's correctable, what happens next, what do you do to fix some of these problems. That's coming up next. Reminder, if you have a smart speaker, if you are in the car and you have your smartphone, or if you have one of those fancy new cars with all the, you know, that big screen in the middle of it that does all, I don't know, man. It's That thing, I don't have that car. If you got one of those fancy new cars that you can talk to and tell to do things, well, then you could ask it to play this podcast next time you're in the car. So if you're just driving along and you don't like what's happening on Sports Talk Radio, and here's a little secret, not much good happens on Sports Talk Radio, ask your device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. Just trigger it, whatever that word is that wakes it up. Say that and then say play podcast Locked On Celtics, and it will play it for you as you're driving. You don't have to take your attention off the road. You don't have to touch anything on your phone. Just ask it to do it, and it will do that. Stick around. We're coming back with more on the Locked On Celtics podcast. The Boston Celtics survived the second quarter, but then the third quarter, which really has been their biggest problem this season, came around and it bit them right in the butt. They gave up a 14-6 Portland run to start the third. The energy looked like it was leaving the building, leaving the Celtics, and it wasn't going well. Now, luckily for them, they managed to kind of recover, and they played a better fourth quarter. The Celtics were outscored in the third quarter, 31-22. Now, that's not good. It's been worse. And they outscored Portland 28-23 in the fourth to get into that five-point deficit there at the end. Again, 97-92, the final. 31-22 in the third quarter. The Celtics, though, outshot the Blazers in the third quarter. They shot a better percentage. They actually took a couple more free throws. They had the exact same number of rebounds. And they had 5 assists to Portland, 6 assists. So basically even there. So a very evenly played third quarter. And up until that part of the metric thing here, it feels like, oh, wow, the Celtics should have basically outplayed them, except 7 Celtics turnovers to 0 Blazers turnovers in the third quarter gave the Blazers 13 points. That is a killer. And Brad Stevens talked about that before the game, that you can't be giving them, or any team, free buckets. You can't give them those, well, their 13 free points. Because when you lose by 5 and you look at that 13 points off 7 turnovers in that disaster of a third quarter, that's an obvious thing. Value the ball. And the Celtics generally have done very well valuing the ball. They are one of the best teams when it comes to protecting the ball. They're one of the lowest turnover teams in the league. But when they play poorly, they get into these stretches, and it doesn't go well. And that bit them in the third quarter. Sloppy, sloppy play, and they gave away a bunch of pretty easy points to the Blazers. And you can basically say that's where the game was lost. Another place the game was lost, Celtics shot 5 of 28 from 3. That is the fewest, tied for the fewest threes they've hit in a game this season. Since the All-Star break, they are 25 of 127 in 4 games. I'll do the math for you. That's 19.7%. That is gross. That is bad. That is not good. The Celtics were pressing in this game, and everybody talked about it afterwards. Brad Stevens said those guys were pressing, and they put a positive spin on it. It's pressing is, I guess, you can they're talking about it as it being a good thing, like they're really trying hard, and I guess it is in the way they're saying it. However, pressing means you're trying too hard. And yes, as Marcus Smart said, We definitely were when in referring to pressing. We wanted to win this one really bad, and we were pressing, but that's a good thing. I'll take that any day. Us trying to make plays for each other and trying to come out with a win rather than not. I get it. Pressing is you want it so bad that you're trying so hard. What the Celtics need to do is simply, I'll just say simply, stop pressing, but play free. Just free your mind. Clear your head. Stop thinking. Stop worrying. Go play basketball. When you press, your shot is off. Your shoulders tense, and you can't shoot. Think about when you're stressed and your shoulders basically go up into your ears. When you're shooting, that's a very fluid thing. I've compared it. A lot of people compare shooting to a golf swing. And the key to a good golf swing is repeating the exact same thing over and over and over again. Every time you pull that club back, it's coming down. It's the same thing. And if you can have that same golf swing, then you can play pretty good golf, decent golf anyway. When you're shooting and you have that same stroke over and over and over again, you can fix cold spells. You can get through cold spells. When you're pressing, when you're thinking too much, when you're worried about your shot, you get tense. You start to think. You start to aim rather than just shoot. Spot, when you're shooting, you just catch a spot on the rim. I like to look at the back of the rim wherever I'm shooting. So if I'm looking straight on, I'm looking at a spot right on the back of the rim. Some guys like to look at the front of the rim and put it just over it. I like to look at the back of the rim and get basically put it, if you hit it with the right arc and you release it with the right arc and it kind of hits that spot on the back of the rim with good backspin, it's going to spin right through. So that's what I like to do when I shot the ball many, many years ago. But when you turn, you catch the ball, you spot that spot on the rim, and you just let your shot go. And you let that muscle memory take over, and you let that eye-hand coordination take over, and you put that ball in that spot on the rim, and it goes in. When you're aiming, you're thinking too much about where, you're not looking at that spot. You're just trying to guide. It's almost like a pop a shot. Like it's weird. It's hard to explain. But that's the Celtics pressing. And doing that tends to lead to just shots. You go long, you go short. It's just erratic. So Boston is pressing. And yes, it's good in the sense that they really, really want that shot to go in. They're really, really trying to get that shot to go in. They need to relax. Like, this is the time for this Celtics locker room to just throw everything out. To just throw it out and say, we've got 20 games left. Whatever's happened, it's gone. It's in the past. Forget it. Let's come out, just play basketball the way that we know that we can play. All right, that's my inspirational speech. Brad Stevens, cut that out. Play that for the Celtics. We're good. Just play them that little bit. I'm sure all of the guys are regular listeners of the podcast. Marcus Morris is among those pressing. He is he's really cold. I mean, that dude is really missing. He was 0 of 6 from 3. He missed his first 3, and he put his hands up. Like, what do I need to do to get one of these to go in? He finally hits a 3, and this is the biggest kick in the balls for him. He finally hit a 3, and it was erased by an Al Horford offensive foul. I mean, what a ball buster that is. He is clearly, it's clearly in his head. He's clearly struggling. He has shot 30% over his last 20 games. He's in a funk. I know that's calling for people. People are calling for him to go to the bench. Maybe that's something that'll help. He's expressed the willingness. Maybe you move Gordon Hayward into the starting lineup. Although I like Gordon Hayward as a ball handler. I'll talk more about that in a minute because we've got tweets coming up and I want to get to those and answer those questions directly. But Morris, talking about the bad, his shooting is bad right now. Daniel Theis, man, a bunch of guys, Jay tweeted it during the game. Others have too. These past few games have really improved Aaron Baines' MVP candidacy, because they are struggling real hard with the backup center minutes. And it's been tough against the Raptors with Gasol and the Blazers with Nurkic. Daniel Theis came in and he just struggled. He was not doing well. And even he was missing open shots, but they, and he, by the way, Theis has been pretty good shooting the three, but he missed some shots and he was struggling with just everything, trying to defend these guys and trying to make some sort of impact. They just couldn't find anything outside of Al Horford. They had Robert Williams. He got Robert Williams in there for one possession, 29 seconds of Robert Williams, and then he came out. It just, they need Aaron Baines back. They just need him. They need his toughness. They just need him. And he shouldn't be that important, but he is, and they just need him back. One other bad thing that I need to address is Marcus Smart's three late in the game that just was, how do we put this nicely? Ill-advised? Ill-advised is good. He shot that three. Let me see if I can find the exact timing of it. He shot that three at 44 seconds. 44 seconds with the Celtics up, down 93 to 88. After the game, he said he was trying to draw contact with that three, and he said, it's a dumbass shot by me, and I need to be better considering time and score. Yeah, because that play was early in the shot clock, and when we say ill-advised, and that was an ill-advised three-pointer. The Celtics had just scored seven straight points. So it was a 7-0 run, down 93-81. Now it's 93-88, and Smart takes that shot with 44 seconds left. And then the worst part is that Dame Lillard turns around and scores a layup. And now the Celtics managed to miss the back end of a free throw and get a 4-point play out of it and cut the lead to three. But that shot was just, you live by the Smurf, you die by the Smurf. And that was one of those times where, as perfectly as Marcus Smart had played that game, that was just bad. Bad decision. Horrible decision. And just those types of poor decisions doomed the Celtics. Just doomed the Celtics. Then, the last thing was chasing Damian Lillard around. I asked Brad Stevens about it after the game, and he said they were trying to force a turnover. And they actually came close. That after that three with 25 seconds left, Lillard almost went over backcourt. Like, they almost got him. They were trying to trap him. They couldn't quite trap him. The problem is they couldn't trap him, and it took 14 seconds. And that basically killed any chance of some sort of miracle. Because with 11 seconds left, you got to come down. You got to nail a three right away. And Kyrie missed the three, and just they had no shot. If he had hit the three with 8 seconds left, then obviously it's a 2-point game, and then you set yourself up for another miracle. You need them to miss free throws. But I understand trying to trap in that situation. You trap early, you try to force a turnover, but you gotta get that foul with somewhere like 17 seconds left, 16, like that extra 5 seconds is a big difference. It just changes the dynamic of everything. You can start, maybe even go for a quick two and another trap if you can. 5 points in that short of time, it's hard to come back from, but still bad, bad things happening, bad decisions. So that's the bad. When we return, your tweets, I answer your questions, and a couple of junk drawer items, a couple, including one involving the man who delivers that opening theme song, Millie's. Stick around. We're coming right back on the Locked On Celtics Podcast. Every game, we ask you to tweet us with the hashtag RainandJays for serious questions or comments, or RainandJunk if you have something funny, amusing, or just generally goofy to say. I am not a big junk drawer guy because that's Sam's domain. He's, you know, I have a sense of humor. He's a goof, and he enjoys the goofs and really embraces them. So I follow Sam's lead on that, but I do have a couple of junk things to get to later. Let me rip through a lot of these, try to answer these quickly, rapid fire style. Here are your tweets. At Trav Lewis, surely with 27 seconds left when you're down three, you don't wait until 11 seconds to foul Lillard. That's what I was just talking about before the break. I agree. It's hard, as he continues here. Play hard D, let them waste 23, 24 seconds, likely miss, timeout. Anyway, my point is with him, I agree. You try to trap quickly. If you don't get that trap, that turnover quickly, then you foul. I think part of it is that they got slippery and the guys got away and they weren't able to foul. But I agree with that sentiment. At Scropeberg, three shots for Hayward is unacceptable at this point of the season. I don't care if he misses. It's the mentality I'm starting to have a problem with. He was better before the break. And I saw him starting to turn a corner. And then since the All-Star break, I don't know if it was the ankle and the, I don't know if he's still feeling the effects. I don't think so. But yeah, I agree. Like, three shots, not it for Gordon Hayward. He needs to be aggressive and he needs to be attacking and trying to score. I don't know what's happening. And it's a little bit of a step back. I'm not afraid. I think he's just, for some reason, he's struggling. And it, just like everything else, it might be a mental thing with him. He needs to step it up and just be more aggressive. They need Hayward to be aggressive. And that's going to be when they're the best version of themselves, as they like to say. At TMacMillan86, the Celtics look terrible again. No one except Marcus Smart played with any intensity. Nurkic and Kanter looked dominant at times. The eventual return of Aaron Baines will eventually help, but does something else need to change? Should Marcus Morris go back to the bench? I disagree with the first two sentences there. They didn't look terrible. They didn't look great, but they didn't look terrible. They looked okay, and it's better than what they've been, not as good as they should be. That's fine, but I wouldn't say they look terrible, and I think other guys did play with intensity. So, but Baines will help. Should Marcus Morris go back to the bench? Possibly. Maybe that'll help him and Jaylen Brown coming off the bench. Problem is, and maybe if you start Gordon Hayward, you can sub him out after 4 minutes and then bring him back later in the first quarter and stagger that way. I don't know that that's exactly the best way to go. The reason I bring that up, I just want him right now with that second unit. The second unit needs a ball handler, and the starting unit needs Marcus Smart. So Smart and Kyrie are your starters. I like that. That's got to be how it goes. I don't want to take that away. The other thing is, the Terry Rozier needs a ball handler. If Terry Rozier is going to play, they need a ball handler on that second unit. And that's going to be how that's going to work best. The other thing with Marcus Morris going to the bench is there's no one that's really his size with his strength to defend and switch onto other fours. And like tonight, played some small ball five. that's a dynamic that you just don't get with a lot of these other guys. Hayward can do it to some degree defensively, but that's not where I want Hayward. Jaylen Brown isn't strong enough to do that. I don't know who the Celtics have that's strong enough to do that. The other option is bringing in Baines and starting him alongside Al Horford. That has worked in the past. I don't know if that's the answer. That didn't seem to work earlier this season, but it's something that they could go back to. That's a possibility. And then you stagger the big men somehow. But I get Marcus Morris going to the bench, but there's also benefit. And the other thing that I keep saying is that I do believe that Brad Stevens values guys who can get past mistakes. And Marcus Morris is a guy who can get past mistakes. And the problem with Gordon Hayward this season and the problem with Jaylen Brown this season is that they have let mistakes fester. And those mistakes can compound each other. We saw it against Toronto. You make one mistake and then things cascade. And if you're not able to get past it, then it just hurts everybody. So that is something that I think Brad Stevens values in Marcus Morris. Now, Marcus Morris is making a bunch of mistakes and he's not shooting well. I get it. But there's no easy answer. There's no easy answer to this. I can see the value in Morris going back to the bench, but it creates problems elsewhere. And are those the problems that you want to start creating now? Maybe in the playoffs where you can say, okay, the matchup dictates this. But for the regular season, you just want to start getting these things to work. And I think for the Celtics have had this work before. And just because it's not working anymore now doesn't mean that it can't work again. We saw it work. I think we should see if they can make it work again. So I'm pro leaving things as they are with the, I guess the difference would be I didn't mind going to 8 or 9 men. I think the bench played pretty well. And I don't want to say that that's Terry Rozier's fault. I don't want to blame him for everything, but it did look good. The bench did look better. So I'm for shortening the rotation. At Don Cornelio, why doesn't Brad Stevens try scripting the hot hand? It's not like our game plans are going great. Why not tell Jaylen or Jason to drop 30 and not worry about efficiency? Could work? Uh-uh. Nope. That's not how that's going to be the worst thing that happens. That's not going to work. Just don't tell. Like, Kyrie can go do it because Kyrie is awesome. Kyrie's a top 10 or 15 player in the league. Those guys, everybody else, and even Kyrie need to play within this system. It's not worth doing stuff like that when playing well and together and free and fluid works. That works. We've seen it work. It's up to these guys to go make it work. It's very simple. Go try, work hard, cut when you're supposed to cut, get the ball when you're supposed to get the ball, make your moves, read and react. They can do it. They can do it. They should just go do it. At EH underscore Decker, Kyrie is amazing, but that doesn't mean his constant ISO bullshit isn't a problem. His constant ISO bullshit is kind of what makes him amazing. So he's the one guy that can do that more than others. And sometimes, I will admit, sometimes it's not ideal. So there is some truth to it. Doesn't mean it isn't a problem. It can be sometimes that he tries to do a little too much and guys get caught standing around. But he's also Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie Irving can do that and do it well and carry a team. So I wouldn't focus too much on that. At Kona King Kahuna, should Mook's minutes be reduced? Oh, another Mook question. Since his three-point shooting has cooled off. Reduced? I don't know. I think Mook can... I know there's regression to the mean. I don't think he's going to go back to his 40% three-point shooting, but I think there's better play in him, so he's going to have to play. He's going to have to play like 30 minutes, so you can't just keep in this grind of the NBA. You can't just react to every swing of good play, bad play. So you got to let these guys get through it, and it's been an extended stretch, so I get it, but He needs to, whatever he needs to do, go meditate, go whatever. But get out of your own head and go just play free and hit some shots. You'll be fine. Touche Bagouche, I wish this team could sustain energy through the middle 50% of the game instead of the bookends. Don't we all? At Dallas Nelson 35, the entire team looks like they're ready for the season to be over. I know in a vacuum the team is better with Kyrie, but all the drama he has brought this season seems to have drained the team. What's the solution long term? A lot of people think this, and I will say, you are projecting. You're projecting your own thoughts about, oh, this drama. Oh, God, it's draining. Right? And you say, well, if I'm thinking that, they're thinking that. Well, maybe, but these statements of fact aren't necessarily true. The team is better with Kyrie, and the drama, if the drama is draining, well, every team's got drama. Every team's got drama. Every team's got to get through it. It's just no, like, the rumors are what they are, and I know it's a little bit added with Kyrie potentially leaving, but other teams have free agents, and they get through it. Other teams have issues, and they get through them. Like, there's not a single team, except for maybe the Warriors, that goes from wire to wire. And the Warriors this season, have had drama. So every team's got drama. Everybody's got it. Everybody's got to be able to get through it. It's the damn NBA. You're professionals now. Just put it behind you and get through it. I know we're humans. I know we have to, but at the same time, this is your job, and work it out. Go see your therapist. Talk it through. Celtics are great with mental health. Go talk it through with somebody. Sit down on a couch, spend an hour talking to somebody, explain it, be honest, and then work through everything. Clear your mind and come back and get past it. Like, that's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. And I know it's very easy to say, but there are ways to get there. Meditate, go to therapy, talk to a friend, talk to a family member, talk to the coach, talk to the teammate that you have a problem with, and then figure it out. Get past the drama, play basketball. That's your solution long term. This question was asked of Jay King, but I didn't copy the question. So hope you're listening, but when you say, how much of this terrible stretch do you think has to do with missing Aaron Baines? Aaron Baines helps. That's the bottom line. Aaron Baines helps. And he adds toughness. We've talked about it in the podcast before. Aaron Baines helps, and getting him healthy is a big deal. And the good thing is that he'll be back soon, and he may play on the upcoming road trip. So he may not play Friday. He's probably not going to play Friday, but it's possible that he could play Sunday. That's a possibility. And I think he'll go on the road trip. If he's not playing on Sunday, he'll definitely go on the road trip. And he could come back on the West Coast. Could be a big deal. So we'll see. Another thing from Hayward at NP Nickerson. I'm officially on team start Hayward and move one of the Marcuses to the bench. Also, Brad needs to run more offense through him. Too much standing in the corner. He's the one guy playing the style of ball coach wants. I'm all for pick and rolls with Gordon Hayward. He's good at it. They should do more of it. I agree. At OSX Leon, Kyrie, JB, Tatum, Hayward, Al lineup to close the first looked great. How often has that lineup played together since Hayward and JB went to the bench? Maybe Brad toying with bringing it back. I don't know the answer to the stats. I have to find that number. But is Brad toying with bringing it back? I'll say he might be toying with closing games with it. That could be something. I'm pro starting our starting lineup. That's how I feel right now. I think that closing a game with Kyrie and Tatum and Brown, Hayward, Al, that works. You can run pick and roll with Hayward and Kyrie, and that can work. But only if Hayward's right. You might need Smart down the stretch there. But if Hayward's right, and if Hayward gets back to just the guy he was right before the break, guy who's going to give you 15-5-5, if he can be that regularly and he can defend, and I think he's done well defending for the most part, then that's a lineup that could close games. Those are the tweets. Man, I can't believe how long I've been going. These solo podcasts, sometimes they go long. Now to reigning junk. Two things. One, from @Trav_Lewis, Celtics are like playing Monopoly with your family. Seems like a good idea at the start, but by the end, your family never speaks to each other again. Dad, Kyrie, goes and joins another family, and granddad, Horford, is left with the grandkids. Or was that just me? I didn't play Monopoly long enough to see it break up my family, but I can see your point. Monopoly is a long, drawn-out piece of shit game that seems good in theory, but is terrible. It is a terrible game. My junk drawer involves simply Millie's, who, if you don't know, is the guy who does our intro music. He's awesome. He's done the podcast intro a couple of times. He's been on the show a couple of times. He was at the game with Jadakiss sitting right next to the Portland Trailblazers bench. And wouldn't you know it, while he's at the game, Rodney Hood comes barreling after a loose ball and dives directly into Jadakiss and Millie's, spilling drinks all over Millie's. And I want to say that Rodney Hood is a marked man. You do not mess with Millie's. You do not mess with the guy who created this awesome intro for us. You mess with him, you mess with all of us. Rodney Hood, you just made the list. That's the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hope you've enjoyed me blathering on for 45 minutes. Hope you've enjoyed. If you're a new listener, I hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe. Normally, there's more than one of us, but tonight, late game, just one of those circumstances where we couldn't get the other two guys on, so just me, but that's what we do. We come through for you with podcasts, so you get one Monday through Friday. Subscribe if you're not a subscriber. Regular subscribers, a 5-star rating and a good review is very, very helpful. So please do that and share the podcast. Tell everybody listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, correct.